So we would never get to a matter. ECHO Fund request for ministerial call-in. I'd like to move this. Would somebody second that, please? They can do it pro forma if they want to. Seconded Gretchen. I just want to begin this, and I welcome Anita and Gwyneth to the table. I just want to do this by putting in a little bit of history. If you remember that the letter that the minister wrote to us back in November or December or whenever it was, he actually promised at some stage to come to him for some help. In November last year, December, I can't remember, it was about that time, I happened to meet with the minister at another meeting, and I said to him at that stage, God, would a call-in be a possibility? For the reasons that there are very few commissioners around, since everyone's into fresh water, which is a problem throughout New Zealand, would this help? And he said, yeah, he would consider it. It's taken me some time. And when you and I had coffee, Gary, at the Ironic, I actually said to you then at that stage that I was considering this, that it was on the table. And I talked about the difference in the call-in, because a call-in is one phrase, a ministerial call-in, is one phrase that covers two things. He can either set up a board of inquiry, or he or she can either put it directly to the Environment Court. The phrase call-in covers both those issues. So that is the choices within the call-in. I was only able to get an answer out of this in the last probably 24 hours before we put the agenda out, which is why I really haven't talked to many people about this, although it has been mentioned. We looked up the minutes and it's been mentioned in here before, the thought that this might happen. I only got the thing to actually write a letter requesting this and to get this letter agreed to by the council one day before the your papers went out last week. So that's my explanation of why there hasn't been a major discussion about this. And it's not defensive. It's just me actually stating it. I could go on to say this, that what this does is it saves time, but it also saves expense for both council and for submitters. And the reason is that if you do it at the normal way with commissioners, and then on a serious issue like this, I'd take a really substantial bet that it would be appealed to the Environment Court and then maybe appealed further. This takes one step out and goes straight to the Environment Court or to a board of inquiry where there's a very high level of process. Now, to also add into there, I think that they've been given permission by the Chief Judge of the Environment Court, who met with both Sarah and myself 2 days ago, to say that he has, in recognition that this might happen, has kept time and space and the kind of right people aside so that we can actually manage this process. This is not about determining what the answer will be. It is about making sure that the process is professional, is high quality, and is fair to all conceded, and also would save money for both sides, and therefore open up for questions or discussion. Hilary.
I've got a couple of questions. Are we able to go direct to the Environment Court?
So one of the options the Minister has is a direct referral to the Environment Court.
Sorry, that wasn't the question. The question was, are we able to go direct to the Environment Court?
Only at the Minister's doing.
Right. So the second question is, you've sort of glossed over that as an idea. There isn't much. I mean, you've suggested that if we were sending it to the Minister, we would... the Board of Inquiry would be superior to the Environment Court as an option. There isn't much about why that's the case. Do you want to?
Yep, so through you, Chair. So the reason we've said that is, well, there was a couple of reasons. One is the Board of Inquiry is time-bound. So that gives us a limit. The environment court processes tend to be a little bit lengthier. From my point of view, I think a Board of Inquiry process is more accessible to the general public. The environment court is quite an intimidating environment. There's a higher burden of proof. It's more formal. A Board of Inquiry process is going to be more formal than a local hearings process, there is no doubt, but it still has the same mechanism, so it still has a panel. And to me, thinking about the people who might submit, and I think there'll be more lay people in this than might sometimes be the case, then a Board of Inquiry just felt like it would be a more accessible process.
Right, so just my last sort of question is, would it be possible in the future when one of these is coming up, and I know you are very hidebound time-wise and things, to, one, present that option so as that we understood that difference, because it hasn't
so,
really...
paragraph 19, 20, we've explained why.
Well...
They make the 2 points Anita just made.
Yes, it doesn't sort of tease out. Usually we get two different sorts of options, an option one and an option two, which would sort of show the pluses and minuses of each, because there is, of course, pluses and minuses of each.
Cut across there. It won't be our decision. We might ask for this in a letter. It'll be the minister who makes a decision as to whether
we ask one or the other, so I'm just sort of the usual layout.
All right.
And just a last thing. In future, could we possibly have something which, and I'm just looking at risk considerations, don't suggest that when the public feel something that they're not right about it? Because it's doesn't feel like a very helpful way. I mean, I fully appreciate that your solution to the issue you're identifying is a good solution, but suggesting that there is a risk that somebody will feel something but they're wrong about it.
Whereabouts are you referring to? What paragraph?
34. So I guess I'm just asking that we could consider thinking about when we are saying other people might think something we don't suggest that they're just wrong about it.
So can I just... So the wrongness is actually about the process not being fully participatory, so I accept that perhaps that doesn't come across. So I wasn't suggesting the public were wrong. I was saying that the process is fully participatory. It has the same... submissions, further submissions, hearing. So I apologise if that didn't come across.
So it's just maybe my reading of it.
Thank you.
Or my fast typing, sorry.
It's Andrew followed by Gretchen.
Yeah, I just feel, and it's not a criticism of Anita, but because your brief may have been fairly narrow, but I think it would have been useful if there was a clear, not investigation, but thorough assessment of all the options in front of us. Because I think it's... the way it's been written to justify the outcome at the end, and I understand that. And like I say, you may have not had the opportunity to widen the brief. So that would be my initial comment. And I suppose the other point at the back of my mind would be around this is a pretty challenging space we're in terms of trying to resolve these planning policies and rules for water in general. And like it or not, Otago seems to be quite unique in this space and makes me just a little bit nervous if we are moving away from, or potentially moving away from, using expertise which may or may not be available, I accept that, but let's say they are, who actually have a really good understanding of the local situation. They may not live in the province, but they may well understand Otago's situation, which is quite different to Canterbury and further afield. So I'm nervous about what's being proposed. I'm trying to justify why I'm nervous. And I suppose the other reason is around our responsibility as elected members under the Local Government Act and ensuring environmental, economic, social and cultural well-being is the best we can sort of achieve for our region. So that's where I'm at. So you won't be surprised if I don't support the motion in front, but I sense the Chief Executive may want to respond to what I've just said.
The three of us want to respond.
Okay.
Gwyneth, go.
I just wanted to make a comment.
Cool.
If there's any, I'm not sure. A comment, if it's any comfort on in the paragraph 21 under the Board of Inquiry, a panel member, one of the criteria is included is local knowledge of the area.
Thank you.
The thing I just want to say
can I ask a question?
Oh, just wait for a minute, because there's Andrew, Gretchen, Kate, Brian, and then you, Michael.
Okay.
Just before you say something, Sarah, I just wanted to say, you know, we've talked a lot in here on conflict of interest, and we had the example of the Ruatanifa Dam.
Mm-hmm.
After it went through all that performance, it ended up in exactly the situation, as did Transmission Gully, absolutely divided community. Both those are examples of when you've got, or sometimes they're examples of when you get a very minor, small council up against something powerful like Meridian, and you want to even the space out. So that is why, and this is being used now, by the way, increasingly throughout the country. Okay, you want to say something?
Well, first of all, I obviously, most of you know this, just for complete transparency, I used to run the Board of Inquiry process for the government through my position in the New Zealand EPA. So just so that's clear. The chair asked that we write a paper that proposed calling this in. All I'm saying is that I have knowledge of both systems. I'm not actually saying I have a preference for either. And in fact, I have made recommendations to the minister both ways, as the government official providing advice directly to the minister on requests by councils to put things through this process. It's not, the concerns that you're raising, Councillor Noonan, are not uncommon, because people do feel, you know, who are these people from other parts of the country coming into our patch and making decisions on the things that are important to us? You know, it's not our local council making these decisions, therefore it's not local decision making. Concerned about formality, and concerned about how those things would be taken into account. All of those things have been raised. Interestingly enough, all of those things were raised, for example, in the King Salmon situation, where there were plan changes and also consenting for salmon farms. And people obviously had divided views about that. What I can tell you is that more often than not, when people were surveyed about the process that they had been through, they more often than not were complimentary and felt that they had had a positive experience. The fact that it's an inquisitorial process, a board of inquiry process, as opposed to a court process which is adversarial, means that there's a level of informality that you don't get in the court, but it's exploratory. So there's questioning and posing of questions and possibilities as a part of that process. The other thing about a board of inquiry is its makeup. So there are certain things that people or representation that must be on it. So usually you would get Māori representation. Normally, you would also have somebody who is considered an expert. In this case, it might be someone who is a hydrologist or an ecologist or some such thing. You normally also, things like gender balance are considered, and you also get the expertise of
the locals.
Somebody with local knowledge, and also obviously then you can have a current or retired environment judge or a retired High Court judge to chair the process. And also inside of that, sometimes court commissioners are also appointed. So you can have a board of inquiry of up to 5 members. Also, not sitting in a courtroom setting can be really useful, although the court does from time to time also sit in other settings outside of courtrooms to make it more accessible and a more friendly, if you like, feel for people who are, of course, intimidated about coming into such a, you know, by its very nature, legal, formal process. So that helps. Also, boards of inquiry quite often sit on marae, which could quite possibly be important to our iwi partners in this as well. So there are a number of things, if it's made, to assist the community. That said, that's not to say that there aren't advantages of the local process and having a local process. My genuine belief at this point in time is that with the work that Anita and others have done to sort of canvass people who would be available to assist us in making these decisions,
commissioners.
It's really, really difficult, and getting somebody local is even more remote. So that is problematic. The fact that you don't have like a council hearing and then a board hearing or a court hearing means that it is efficient in terms of time, but only the Board of Inquiry has the time restriction on it, because the government can't set time rules for the court. You can't tell the court what to do or when to do it, so to speak. So that's why there's a distinction. The time piece, most people use this process when there are difficult issues, but also time really matters. And I think that's a key consideration for us, because we know that if we were to go into this process and to end up going through a council process and then a court process and then maybe a high court process, we're gonna have the land and water plan hitting up against these plans before they're operative. So that's also part of the consideration. That said, though, there's no denying that often communities feel that this kind of process distances them from local decision-making. So
the speaking order I've got at the moment is Gretchen, followed by Kate, thank you, Brian and Michael. Gretchen.
Quick question first.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, well, actually, that is standing orders. I think I can ask a question.
Okay, sorry, love.
Yeah.
What did you go for?
Well, the question is, the statement was made by you, Chair, that you didn't have time to talk to many people before this was put out. I'm just wondering.
Anyone?
Yeah. Anyone? You said only a few, I think the words
were. Well, there was only a few in terms of the idea of a concept, right. And I did talk with...
So I was just trying to work out to what councillors you actually talked to about that.
Sorry. Can we go to the record? I can only say that I talked with Gary and
Okay, and just on...
Sorry, Chris, I'm going to finish that question.
Yeah, no, I'm going happy to the record.
Going to the record, I'm just trying to get the answer from beside
it. In the public excluded council meeting on the 22nd of January, she did cite that, and it's noted in the minutes that you have under consideration today, so you should have them on your iPad.
Okay, thank you. Is that all right for questions? Can I now go to Greg?
Just a further question on that. When we're preparing, I understood that this paper was by staff, probably from the GM of Strategy and Policy, but so when a councillor requests a paper, when are we informed of that? So that's just more in procedural.
Sure, that's a really good question, and actually Councillor Wilson and I were having a conversation over lunch break about exactly that. So the practice is that councillors from time to time contact me and make a request to have a paper on the agenda, and under standing orders I can either refuse the request or ask for a delay based on time. I try not to do that, but I do think, you know, perhaps there's a different way of doing that. So any of you could come to me and ask for a paper, and to the best of our ability, we will do that. It might not necessarily be within the time that you want it. And of course, the other point I would make is that when we do a paper, it's staff advice to you. You can decide to do whatever you would like. You don't have to take that advice.
But that still on this paper, it doesn't say who's called for this paper.
I did.
Yeah, sorry. That's what I'm saying. Where do you note that? And at what time?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, it would have changed the whole way that I looked at this whole process, because I'm looking to asking all staffing questions around, and the whole agenda of the topic may be completely skewed by who actually presents. Not skewed badly or rightly or wrongly, but my whole thought process is by who's put it forward, and the knowledge of what they've been doing is
so the staff
changed.
Are making the recommendation to you. If it is a staff report at the end of the day, so the staff have written the report and they're making the recommendation to you, that the fact that the paper was asked for doesn't fetter the advice, if you know what I mean.
My apologies, Kevin. I honestly went at this. It was, as I said, a day before, and I remember I think I might have been, I wasn't home when I woke up in the middle of the night and thought, dear God, has that translated into an actual paper? And thankfully was able to look online and see that it had. So I'm really sorry. It has been done at extremely fast rates. Can I go back to the ski peaking order? Gretchen.
Well, it's a major decision that we've been thrown upon us very quickly again, and so I'm just thinking, as good governance, time is quite important. So that's what I'm trying to accentuate here.
Kevin. Then I'll put it out into other kind of timing. Goes like this: that when a minister does respond to a request for call-in, it is in the time after we pass or don't pass, but normally pass because otherwise it doesn't happen. A plan going out for, what's the word?
Notification.
What? Notification. So, and between that time when we pass it and it gets notified, that is when normally, I've got that right.
There's a small statutory window to make a request.
That's right.
Okay, and so that's what I was caught by, and that's what I was desperately trying to do. Can I really say, hand on heart, this is not a nasty trick.
I'm not saying that you are, love,
but I'm saying that out to people. It is me trying my very best to make sure that this went through, and as not the paper, but the whole process went through in as fair and as orderly way as possible as far as the community is concerned. Gretchen.
Okay, thank you. I guess we all, as local government, sit around the table and think, actually, we really strongly believe in local decision making. That's where we come from. All of us have that as the basis of why we're here around the table. So we have a very strong ethos of that and of wanting quality decision making for communities. And we think to ourselves, first of all, yeah, it would be really fantastic to have a local decision-making through a local hearing. But actually, when you hear what Mrs. Gardner was talking about, it actually alleviates quite a lot of those issues that were in my mind, particularly hearing you talk about Board of Inquiry, which I've had no real, you know, experience of. But the fact of the matter is that a panel would be made up very, very, very similar to what this council would make up.
Exactly.
Independence, we've all around this table said we believe now in total independence, so no councillors should be on water hearings. You know, whether we all individually agree with that, but that's pretty much the steer people have given. The steer our chair is definitely given. So we're looking at a panel made up of exactly the same people, most likely. And the format of that, obviously, is a wee bit more formal, but is a little bit flexible, you've said. So, yeah, that's where that is. And then you need to think to yourself, is this going to be more efficient and cheaper for everyone involved? Is it going to be quality decision-making? Yep, should be quality. But can people be involved in a more efficient manner? Yep, probably. And then you have to think to yourself, and I was going to ask the question expertly from the staff, what's the chance of appeals? But thinking to myself as well, we don't know how long's a bit of string. We could think, okay, our actual communities, people on the ground may not appeal. They might too, I don't know. We don't know. But what about the big industry groups? What about, you know, they might. And they might bring all their lawyers along. Who knows? We don't know. There is, in my mind, a strong chance of appeal. Yep. And then you've got another process. I think this is the best way forward, but questions would be, anyone else, do you think there's a chance of appeal? And you might not want to answer that, I don't know. Second of all, let's think about Environment Court, and there's an Environmental Legal Assistance Fund for people that, community members who want to be involved. It does apply
yes,
to.
It does.
Okay, well, that's that one. That's simple. Next bit about risk of appeal.
So through you, Madam Chair, I would say there's a high chance of appeal. These are really significant issues for people. Plan changes of less significance, then you would think, I can't guarantee it, but I would say. The other thing I would say is what does sometimes happen is appeals are dressed up as points of law, but they get dismissed pretty quickly. So they will go to the High Court as a point of law. They don't stand up. So some appeals that might normally get taken to the Environment Court materialise, get addressed, and then you just get down to the substantive legal points.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you. Most of my questions have been answered. The one about timing I don't think has been with the clarity that I would like. That my understanding is that this doesn't have to be in effect past today. It could be passed in March and the timeframes would still be the same. Or have I got that wrong? Taking aside appointing the board and everything or the Environment Court or the Minister making the decision, the time for us to make this decision is not... Yep.
And that is between notification
and start of hearing. Shortly after the close of submissions.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the next question, I guess, is about a decision today. And I might actually go to Marion.
Decision today. Maybe that could go to March the 11th, but I wouldn't take it any. It would have to be by notification.
Okay, thank you. And that is exactly what
this
I thought it was.
Sorry, I may be wrong.
There's a couple of things just to know. This is just to help. So once you make the request to the minister, he then puts that to officials to get advice. So there's time lost in there.
It might go for a paper to cabinet.
It has to go through the Honours and Appointments Committee of Cabinet at the very least.
Which only meets once every 3 weeks.
They are parliamentary appointments, so it has to go through that. But also, there's a whole screening process that has to be gone through in order to get the Board of Inquiry in the first place, get the actual members, because they have to do what we do, effectively, to get the members, and you have to provide the Minister with options. And then his Cabinet colleagues may well say, oh, don't like that one, you've got to do whatever. So actually, you can lose time because there is no time frame. There's a time frame by which we have to make the request, but there's no time frame for the minister to make a decision. So that gets really tricky because you could be looking at a 6 week or more period of time. So the earlier you do it, the better you are off.
I'm also uncertain which motion between 4 and 5 has been moved, but I've been moving that we don't choose necessarily a board of inquiry. We leave that to the minister to choose. And take the words Board of Inquiry out of the letters because I think it really depends on it's his choice and I don't want to be telling the minister what to be doing. I'm ambivalent about this request. What I am really offended by, and it's not anyone's fault, and I'm not blaming anyone in the process. We're all in the schmozzle together. We haven't taken with any clarity our residents, ratepayers, and anyone else with us on this journey. We've said we're doing a plan change, and then we've gone, instead of asking what are the planning process options before us that we could be doing, A, B, C, and D, we've gone for one saying, we think it could fit in this, so we'll do it this way. And that has caused angst. It's caused angst amongst ourselves because we haven't understood that clarity. It has caused, I went to a meeting yesterday and I was barracked by someone about it who was offended by it. They didn't understand the process because we haven't laid that out. And that is our part. We said we wanted to be open, transparent, and we need to take people on this journey. It is a journey that is, we all know, is hugely upsetting to a lot of people out there. But if they can't see that process and what it's going to look like, and we've been given so much detail today that could have been in that report, should have been in that report, that I'm actually going to do a subsequential motion, if I may, that we write a piece and put it on our website and preferably put it out and let people know exactly what those options were and why we have chosen this one. Because I think that's still really important. Thank you. I will be supporting, though, because I do think we need to move on, but I just want to see that story.
Thank you, Kate. Brian, followed by Michael.
Yeah, well, I came along to this meeting to on the pretense of 24-hour consideration to support it, but in fact I'm going to vote against it. Maybe I sat at the wrong table at lunchtime, I'm not sure. But the first reason that was given to justify this proposal was the fact that apparently it was difficult to get panel members. And as Councillor Robinson said, whether it's a board of inquiry or us, and if we're doing good practice, we also would have an iwi representative and an expert and so forth. The panel really should be a similar panel. So it seems to me, regardless of who's actually trying to appoint, similar challenges will exist. My second point of consideration is that, quite frankly, because what's being recommended here is the Board of Inquiry, and I'm interested in the Environment Court option, and quite frankly, I don't know enough about it. This, to me, is a huge step. I go through the criteria. There's actually more not meeting the criteria than actually meeting it. I was trying to find the numbers of adding them up, but...
Well, the omnibus thing, it's 6-4, I think.
Yeah.
But for the other one, it's higher.
But... So in terms of the meeting, you know, so you go through, like, I'm trying to understand, I'm trying to... Hey, I want to de-risk this. I want to get this process through as well. What I would be actually encouraging as a council is all these plan changes, the omnibus one and the deemed permit one, are, you know, should have and could have and need to be relatively simple changes. The omnibus is filling some gaps and the deemed permits is effectively a rollover in the words of Minister Parker. And now we're saying, oh, cheapest is going to be taken. Well, you know, maybe there is a step that a number are alluding to just in terms of a consultation and pulling these outliers in. You know, so for example, the deemed permit one, I mean, one of the councillors here has said, you know, it's going to land up in the Environment Court. But really, you know, what is the issue of contention? My understanding is it's a relatively small point of contention. So maybe we should be taking... I know we're working in haste. Our chair is waking up in the middle of the night. But nevertheless, we need to do good process. And as one councillor, I need to make sure that I'm doing good process. At the end of the day, my final comment is, I don't reckon it's a very good look for this council. You know, there's been a lot of press lately in terms of conflict. We had a speaker there today in terms of people speaking and so forth, and then Joe Average is going to pick up the ODT and say that this council has asked the minister to call in something that we're quite capable of managing ourselves. Now, if there's an issue with this whole process of it blowing out, in terms of the Environment Court process and so forth were all taking too long. Well, the minister should do something about that process to make it more efficient, because not everybody needs to railroad up on this board inquiry. It's just going to jam-pack it up. And it's the minister that has given us this same time frame. So it's the same guy. And I won't be pushed into a corner to go and vote something for us that doesn't have a look like this. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Do you want to comment?
I just wanted a clarification, just and apologies, this wasn't in the paper, but the threshold for the criteria is one. It's not multiple. Mm. Oh, was it? Okay, sorry.
Got an order.
Yeah, no, I was just making the point that
the end of them.
Well, you've already... Oh, you haven't. Sorry. Okay, Michael?
I mean, I have the same misgivings as a number of other folk around how this got onto the agenda in the first place. And I think we probably need to think about going forward how we put things on the agenda, because it's not the most effective nor efficient way to do so, or the process being followed at the moment. Putting that to one side for now, this very simply, this paper and this idea fails the sniff test. The reality is that the arguments for going down this line relate to both timing and to people. So because we've stuffed the things up, we've truncated the process. And the second one is, well, there aren't enough people anyhow to do the job if we wanted to do it properly. Now, you can't argue on the one hand that you can find five people, at least five people for a board of inquiry who are going to be skilled, efficient, have local knowledge and a degree of legal expertise and experience as well, and say we're going to have enough people to fill a board of inquiry but we won't possibly have enough commissioners. It's an absurd argument and it contradicts itself. The next bit though is we're going to lose control of the process, and that's the bit, the high watermark for me. We are in control of the process. This is our problem, and we are working towards effective solutions in concert with the communities that we serve, elected by them. What is being proposed here is to render up this particular process to a political process. And I thought the commentary of Sarah Gardner just now was really important, because it's exactly Sarah, and Sarah's had experience of this. She's absolutely right. She oversaw this process at the EPA. Sarah says, you know, for example, cabinet ministers may not like that one, she says, referring to the people who might go on the board of inquiry. Precisely. Precisely my point. This politicizes the whole issue. It becomes an issue of the political process in Wellington, and the political likes and dislikes of various political party political people in Wellington. Now, that is the greatest misgiving for me. I contrast that with going to the Environment Court, for example, where I know the experience, the equity, the expertise, and the independence exists, and that everybody who attends the Environment Court, for example, in the future were it to go to appeal, can avail themselves of the fairness of that procedure. I then looked, can I just say, at where this process has been used throughout New Zealand. With the exception of Hawke's Bay, and that was mostly around Lake Ruatanifa, but also around the Cliveland and the Roro, most of these ministerial calls in are to do with national roading networks and problems. I'm going to go through all the cases that are on the EPA website. Those are the ones. And all I will say on this issue is we have to contrast that with what we can do. So to summarise, one, we politicise the process by going into a board of inquiry, and we overtly make it political when we've got an independent agency, the Environment Court, that maybe at the end of that process to oversee it anyhow. Two, we do have the people here, the commissioners. It's self-evident if there's going to be enough people for a board of inquiry, most of them will be commissioners, if not all of them anyhow. And third, this is our responsibility, and we should not be walking away from it and we are walking away from a problem that we have created over successive councils.
Thank you, Michael. Alexa, followed by Hilary.
That's going out. I got a bit of a fright seeing it on the agenda at first, but the first thing I did was Google the process and the MFE and looked at it, realised that we met the requirements not just on one level, but on many, many, many levels for this to be called in. And so that gave me a bit of an idea that this was okay. I don't think, and in fact I'm pretty sure the process outlined by MFE, it's not weighted. It's, you know, any one of those things, it gives you grounds to going for this process. If you meet any of them, you have a case. So I approached the paper with a better frame when I'd put that aside and put the fight aside and gone, how did we get here? But anyway, so, and then I thought that this is a better process than trying to deal with it locally, because dealing with it locally is just going to bind up time and resources for an absolutely unspecified, unknown period of time. And I don't see it as walking away, Michael. I see this as pragmatic. And I think one of the big advantages of not dealing with it absolutely locally is that the heat comes out. It makes it more independent. And there's so much polarisation around this subject. I think the more that we can remove it somehow from our local positioning, yet still maintain the consultation levels and the views of every single person that wants to be part of it. If we can actually manage that, and that's how I see this process, I see that it is actually doing that, being able to remove it from the heat of things, and being able to remove it out of all the local lawyers' hands, thank you very much, sorry for the lawyers, but to be able to pull it out from that and yet still allow people to be really part of it, I just think that's a win-win. It holds more certainty, it holds a whole lot of time and resource efficiency, and I don't think there's any shame in it. So for me, by the time I got to the end of it and started really thinking about it, and I did ask for advice from a friend of mine who's been through this a few times, and we had one situation in Queenstown in my time on council there where we did this, and I just think it's a really useful thing to do, and if we meet the criteria, I came to the position of what's not to love, actually. So that's I will be voting for it.
Thank you, Alexa. And Hilary?
If we knew that the process would have a limited amount of time, and I appreciate that...
You did speak before, sorry. But keep on going. This is your second time in the debate.
I thought I'd been asking questions before. But
okay.
Thank you for your indulgence, Chair.
It is an indulgence. I'm going to have to clarify the asking of questions and making a speech.
We must have known when we did the last bit of this process that there was going to be a limited time in which to do a call-in if we were thinking of writing about a call-in. Had we used that time, and I appreciate that you, Chair, weren't thinking about that timing at the time.
I've been trying for 2 months.
In which case it would have been very helpful.
And if, I did if, on that date.
If we had had more of the information that's come out today beforehand, and in particular, we appear to have had a paper presented skewed, I don't mean that in a biased sense, but it's been requested to be a paper on the minister calling it in with a board of inquiry. And usually we would have got a paper you had said, but I could be wrong. If in the normal course of events we would have had a paper from staff that showed options, and there might have been three, one of them starting with a local lot of people, commissioners, and the second one be asking the minister for a call-in to the Environment Court, and the third one being a call-in to the Board of Inquiry. And had we had that, I would support Kate's suggestion if it was a call-in asking for it to go to the Environment Court. And usually I would have expected to have a paper that teased out those options. I do understand that there's, we do want to have timing issues happening, which is why I would support a call in to the Environment Court, because there's two reasons for that. One of them is that you add an extra bit timing-wise having local commissioners. And the second thing is we don't have enough community trust out there that we haven't made such a pig's ear of the things in the past so as that we can be trusted to have local commissioners in the middle of that and add another layer to the process for people who are just already are saying to us things such as, let's get on with it and get to the Environment Court so we can have this discussion happening properly. Mm-hmm. So because we haven't, I don't believe, got the faith of the community that us as commissioners are going to make a jolly good job of things right at the moment, I'm happy for a call in which would recommend taking it to the Environment Court. I would have liked to see that as a recommendation.
Well, I think we'll address that in a minute, that issue. You know, I will address it in my right of reply. Gary?
Thank you.
And then Carmen.
I mean, it was mentioned in our discussion, Madam Chair, but not to the extent that I thought it would suddenly appear in a meeting here. Look, to me it's quite disappointing really that this council isn't able to complete this process. The problem with the process is that we've complicated the plan changes and what should be simple plan changes, because our focus has to be the big plan change. And what we have out there is a community that is absolutely fed up with the ORC and its situation around these types of issues and how it handles it. The community will buy into the big plan change, and these little interim steps, to me, we just got to get past them. We've complicated them. So, of course, they are then going to be challenged by others. So, I mean, I think the community out there, whichever faction of the community it is, will have faith in the Environment Court if it sees that this process, that our council here can't handle this process itself. So what I would like to see is the plan change is simplified, we focus on the big plan change, and if we are going to the Minister, we go to the Minister on the request for Environment Court only.
Thank you. Carmen?
I just have a question, if I may, and it's probably more for Mrs. Gardner or our Chair.
Yep.
If we went to the Environment Court, would there be some sympathy, or would the Minister be sympathetic to us, knowing that there could be a capping time? But, you know, and you can take it to the Environment Court, and, you know, and it can take a very long time, right, for a process. Could there be that appeal that we make that says, look, we are desperate?
We definitely can make an appeal, but...
So the Minister can't influence the judiciary at all?
Yeah, it's us.
There must be separation between government and the judiciary. It's just the law of the land, it's the way that it works, right? And the court doesn't have a set time frame, whereas a Board of Inquiry does. Yeah. And so, just, you know, we were all gesturing to each other about this. We actually, the recommendation to go to a Board of Inquiry is a staff recommendation.
It's not necessarily mine.
Yes. Sorry. It's a staff recommendation based on the combined experience of these processes that we have, which is, you know, and I would take you back to the Lindis, for example.
Goodness me.
Right?
Really?
Well, yes, I am going to take you back there simply to demonstrate to you that when you go to the Environment Court, you don't have a set time. And if you remember rightly, I think that decision took nearly 12 months to complete. So all I'm saying to you is, you know, there is an awareness. When we spoke about process with the judge yesterday, there is awareness of the time pressure that we are under. But if you want an absoluteness, a Board of Inquiry can't take any longer than the statutory time frame, and if they want to take longer, they have to ask the Minister if they can take longer. So by virtue of that alone, the same guy who said hurry up ORC would have to make a decision to let them go longer. The court, that doesn't occur. The court takes the time it takes.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to exercise my right of reply. If that's all right, has everybody finished?
Kevin. Okay. And also just one question.
Go for it, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, I think it is important. Is it possible, under process, to allow this to lie on the table for staff and the CEO and the chair to come back to us with a process of how we will convey to our communities why we see this as the best way forward to tidy up the issues of consenting that have marred the ORC over the last number of years, and that we can set a path forward that we are going to be the council that we have set out to be. And I'm happy for that to be changed.
Is that
wording.
A procedural motion?
That is my question. Can it be put aside, and can we ask?
My procedural motion would be either you reject everything that's up there, or you say you delay this until, and you move that you delay this until when? I don't know. What are you saying? What are you asking? Delay a decision until when?
It would be delayed until the soonest possible time that could be relayed,
be a bit clearer for me to accept
that
motion.
I could.
Are you going to move a procedural motion that you want to delay this report?
Lay it on the table.
No, I think I'll just let it fly.
Okay.
But I would reserve the right to make a comment on
okay.
the motion that's
That's right.
There.
I understand. I understand the issue that's behind that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be helpful. If this fails, what are the standing orders that this vote could come back again? Should we be in a position to want to reconsider it? Because I thought there was a delay before we could rehear it. And so the question that's just been put is very, very relevant, because I don't want to vote against this and not allow it potentially to come back should we receive more information.
You'll have to give me a minute.
Yeah. And while you're doing that, could I ask the question of scope? Because that's one thing that no one has asked about. The scope for a Board of Inquiry or a Environment Court is that much greater, as I understand it to be, than a panel of commissioners.
So there is one component. When a Board of Inquiry makes a decision or the court makes a decision on something that's been called in and therefore has been considered to be a proposal or a part of a proposal of national significance, mm-hmm. the factors of national significance also have weight in decision making.
But commissioners are limited to the scope of the plan change and the submissions?
Yes, they are.
The Board of Inquiry and the Environment Court are not. Is that correct?
No, they are. They're limited to the scope of the plan change. We still prepare the plan change in full.
Appreciate
and that's
that.
What gets considered. And the submissions get considered as they are. All I'm saying is that in terms of a difference, when it's a proposal of national significance, those factors that make it a proposal of national significance can be given weight as part of the decision making.
Thank you.
To answer the question on page 56 or 27.7,
yes.
Repeat notices of motion. When a motion has been considered and rejected by the local authority or a committee, no similar notice of motion, which in the opinion of the chairperson may be accepted within the next 12 months, unless signed by not less than one-third of all members, including vacancies.
This isn't a notice of motion.
This isn't a notice of motion?
No, ma'am. So this would be revocation of a decision.
24.1. A member may give it, Chief Executive, a notice of motion for the revocation or alteration of all or the part of a previous resolution of the council or committee. So we'd pass this and then do something. The resolution or part of the resolution which a member proposes to revoke or alter, the meeting date when the resolution was passed, the motion which a member proposes to replace it with, and sufficient information to satisfy the decision making provisions of section 77 to 82 of the LGA 2002. If the mover of the notice of motion is unable to provide this information, or the decision is likely to be deemed a significant decision, the notice of motion should provide that the proposal is referred to the Chief Executive for consideration and report. I personally can't understand all of that.
Oh, no, I think the question is, can we bring it back? Should, yeah, I'm just nervous that we go ahead with the vote today, and that's why I was asking that question, because it may preclude us voting.
It goes on to talk about 5 working days.
If this motion fails, you could put a subsequent one, though.
No, it's so substantively the same. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So if it fails.
Where does it say if it fails? All notions.
23.1.
Yeah, but the report doesn't say anything about it.
In a situation where a motion that recommends a course of action is lost, a new motion with the consent of the chairperson may be proposed to provide direction. That's wide open.
If this fails,
we can have a go.
Yep.
I would like actually this time to answer some of the questions that have been raised and to exercise my right of reply, and then we'll try and put the motion, and if it fails, it fails. And we then move on to all these issues then. Is that okay? All these procedural issues.
Yes.
First of all, I wanted to answer a direct quote that came from Michael, which is about politicisation of a board of inquiry. And I've been warned that I do this too often, but I just have to share my own knowledge of Cabinet with you. These come through, and about 30 papers go to APH, Appointments and Honours, every 3 weeks. People really don't spend a miles amount of time on working on who is the best person that they want for that particular board. It's just not terribly important. It just doesn't, unless it's something like a commission on genetic modification, and then it didn't happen then either. I am with most people in the sense that the paper doesn't actually say in there that it's going to go to the Environment Court or to a committee of inquiry. The letter says that, and it's very easy in the letter, I think, to amend the letter to say that you consider a ministerial calling for this plan stage for consideration by a board of inquiry or by going direct to the Environment Court. I understand the issues around timing with the Environment Court, and I also understand the kind of flexibility that there is in a board of inquiry to be gentle with people who have never been in a court situation before, which is actually quite important. Understand all that, but also recognise from listening to the people in here that not everyone understands what a board of inquiry is. And I want to go very slowly through the timings. If you reject this motion, we go back to the difficulty of finding appropriate commissioners, and they must be, you know, they've got to be of a certain standard. And what I'm hearing from Canterbury and from Southland is that there aren't any available in short time on these issues of water. We will have to be going, not locally, probably to the North Island, and we'll be competing with others. That's the issue that was brought to my attention that made me say, I think I've got to check this out. Can we go any other way? So we'd go to commission, and in all likelihood, there'd be an appeal to the Environment Court. That could well be a year out before that is heard. That's different from going direct to the Environment Court now. And then there could be an appeal subsequent on the papers, on the law, to the High Court. In my nervousness, that could take us right up to 2023. Now, would you like to look at the other things that we're trying to do? I think that we get past the 11th of March and get this process going, then we begin the work actually in the FMUs working towards our land and water plan. This is, and the RPS as well, it is this that when the minister wrote to us, he says, Otago Regional Council, your planning framework is out of kilter. And these were the initial things to get our planning back in kilter. That's, and with an RPS on board. If we really want to address what you signify, Gary, and quite rightly, as a really big issues coming down with the fresh water decisions in 1 to 2 weeks, then we need to get these comparative minnows out of the road quickly. And quickly, it seemed to me, was that. I also want to answer another thing that Michael said. He said this was only done on transport. I'm sorry, the Lower Waitaki Valley was a board of inquiry. And that enabled people to even complain about the amount of dust that might affect their washing. I can remember that one. Yeah. And what was the one, Alexa, that you had in Queenstown?
It was Skyline Parking Building.
Okay.
And Queenstown Airport.
Mm. And Queenstown
which
Airport,
went direct to the Environment Court.
Yep.
Okay, so it is actually being used more frequently.
That was really good.
And I just really want to put that out to you. It isn't a way, as I think I've heard sort of in the undergrowth, that people say, this is shame on us, we can't cope. It is an admission that there are at the moment a real dearth of commissioners available in this area. So if you're happy that I amended that letter for consideration by a board of inquiry or director of Environment Court or reverse them round or whatever.
That makes it five.
Sorry?
Sorry, does that mean you just cross off that whole paragraph?
Identifier preference.
Sorry,
just take away that identifier preference part of the letter.
Okay, the motion is about receives this report and then recommends the chair write to the minister. And in the chair's writing to the minister, that's where it's got for consideration by a board of inquiry, full stop. And I want to say, or direct to the Environment Court.
Sorry, yes, but in the letter, it says, has considered two pathways. If I asked to identify a preference, would prefer a board of inquiry, and it's got three bullet points. Get rid of the whole of that.
I could probably get rid of the whole of that. I don't have any great problem with that.
Yeah,
I really desperately want to actually get this on the way.
Which technically means you're moving five instead of four.
Yes. So number five allows you to make some changes to the letter. Number four is basically the letter as it is. Five allows you to make changes.
Cross out four and do five.
Through you, Chair, can I just briefly talk about the commissioners or the lack of availability? So as soon as the Council adopted the Minister's Work Programme, we started making calls. So very start of December, late November, Environment Canterbury have got the three that we wanted first. They've got their own plan changes running in the middle of the hearing. We tried a second set. We're up to about number 10 and 11. They're not available. There's freshwater plans happening all around the country.
Are they the same as on the... Can you answer that question? Aren't they the same that the government...
No.
I mean, they're both...
He's got a bigger pool.
The same people.
Well, it's got a way bigger
yes
pool.
Yes and no.
It's the same.
It's a yes and no, right? So there's a couple of things where, in my experience of Board of Inquiries, there is some status, if you like, attached to the role of a ministerial appointment to a board of inquiry. And so some people may well make themselves available for that who wouldn't necessarily make themselves available for us, if you know what I mean.
Is it paid more money?
No, actually, boards of inquiry have an element of public service because... the State Services Commission sets what they get paid, and this is only my knowledge, it could have changed slightly. I managed to get that increased to $1,000 a day, but it went down when Simon Bridges was the Minister of State Services, $100 a day. Commissioners from the court previously got less than that, so... It just depends.
So let me just go now to here. We may receive this report. We may approve the recommendation to request the Minister for the Environment Call and Water Plan Change 7, that's deemed permits, and then the next one, Water Plan Change 8, which I think we colloquially call Omnibus. And then I wouldn't move 4 and I'd move 5. The Chair write to the Minister requesting a call-in in accordance with the letters attached to this report, with the amended or and any amendments as a result of today's meeting. Thank you, Kate, for pointing that out.
And that would take out.
Yes, I'd fix that up and take that out.
And it would put an A in Marion.
Yes, I'd appreciate that too. Yes. Sorry, this is not argument time.
No, it's not. No, it's a genuine question.
Yes.
Because we've had this report and it's steered in a certain direction in terms of the Board of the Inquiry, and now you're changing the recommendation to be either or, that the Board of Inquiry or the Environment Court. I'd appreciate from our CE or whoever just some, a little bit more explanation, the subtlety differences between the Environment Court and the Board of Inquiry and the status quo. Bearing in mind that you inferred, Madam Chair, that you actually supported, you know, for information, genuine information. I've got my vote swinging.
By its very nature, a court process is an adversarial process. Yeah. So it's sides pitched against each other, if you like.
Very lawyer-driven.
It is a very lawyer-driven process. Now, that's not to say that there aren't lawyers involved with the Board of Inquiry, because there are, but it is an inquisitorial process. So it's more, it's less about some of the harder edges of, you know, trying to discredit each other and all that kind of stuff that can go on in an adversarial process. It's more about the committee asking questions to draw out information and to gain an understanding of the situation and to inform the choice that they might make about what they do in terms of a decision. So it does by its nature have a bit of a softer edge. Now, in the modern day court setting, it depends on who you get, but environment court judges are very used to trying to make sure that people who are more sort of lay people than the, you know, the planning experts and the ecologist experts that are turning up, make sure they feel more at ease and more relaxed. And that also plays out in the setting inside of the inquisitorial process. It also feels different. You know, with a Board of Inquiry, we've sat in country halls, we've sat in rugby clubs, we've sat in those kinds of places. The court quite often still uses a courtroom. So that makes a difference for people, the formality.
Although he did say, he did say.
Yeah, the judges will be usually in, if my memory serves me correctly, in the court, they'll be in their court garb with their gown and all that kind of palaver. They don't wear a gown and that kind of stuff for the Board of Inquiry. So the sense of formality is less than a Board of Inquiry, still reasonably formal, but it's sort of halfway between the council hearing and the court. The court is the full extent of a very formal process, often on an elevated bench with, you know, all the drama.
And you're saying, in your opinion, it's likely to land up in the Environment Court anyway.
No, you didn't hear me.
No, so if it
I've heard you, but I'm also saying...
Our staff advice is we would be very surprised if we went through a council hearing process, so we went the normal track, that we wouldn't find ourselves back relitigating the whole thing in the Environment Court.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I said.
No, sorry. Did I hear you say a Board of Inquiry? You set up a Board of Inquiry or an Environment Court, and then it goes directly to High Court. It doesn't repeat itself. It doesn't go from Board of Environment to Environment Court.
I know that, Madam Chair. All I simply said was, on a separate question, I said, and in your experience, CE, would this aspect, if it went through the normal process, land up in the Environment Court anyway?
I'm sorry,
to
I apologise.
To which you jumped in with 2 feet, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry.
Accepted.
Good sense.
I'd really like to put the motion, because people have... I had the last speech. I then opened it up again. If I have a look, we keep a record of how many people question or speak, and there are several of you. You're putting up your hands. You're on to your third time.
That's more information coming. Can we just ask that since this letter, just as a completion, of where we're going with this, because I really appreciate where you're going with this, Madam Chair, but can we just ask that when it says at the end, for further clarification, please contact Sarah Gardner, that since Sarah quite clearly is pro the Board of Inquiry, or I think that's fair enough, that you think it's a good plan and your staff has suggested that you don't pass that on through a response to this letter, that you just...
Sure. Madam Chair, an amendment to your motion. I'd like to move an amendment.
Have you seconded? Say me what the amendment is, please.
Did you get that, Liz?
You said...
Yeah, I can read it out. The amendment to the motion will be add a number 6. And number 6 will be that the Staff and Communication Committee prepare as a matter of urgency communications explaining the process and reasons why the ORC are pursuing a ministerial call-up.
That's basically my foreshadowed motion, which is fine.
I'd have to tell you, I'd perfectly accept that because it's already been done.
Give me a second.
Yeah, I'm happy to see.
Well, we're not aware that it has been done. But,
No, it hasn't been done.
It was going to be foreshadowed. God is speaking.
It's actually number 5 of number 4.
I'm sorry, I am aware of a draft that has been already prepared, but that's lovely. And on the chance that we pass this.
So, Councillor, the media release. Can you see where I'm typing? Can you please finish that off for me? Literally.
Sorry, where are you? Sorry.
Staff and Communications Committee, which we don't have.
It's not a committee.
Communications Working Party?
Yeah, Working Party, sorry. Prepare as...
Sorry. Oh, okay.
Oh,
no, either do I. Everyone. We'll take it bit by bit.
As a matter of urgency, communications to residents explaining... the process and the reason why the ORC are pursuing a ministerial call-up.
Can I call in?
Call up.
Okay, I've accepted that, but I'll, can I take...
Do you have a seconder for that?
Yeah, have I got a seconder?
Yep, I'll second that. And can I formally move that the motion be put?
Is there a seconder for the procedural motion?
Don't need one, do you?
Providing they're put separately.
Providing they're put
I'll
separately.
I'll have you second it, providing they're put separately.
I'd be very happy to move them separately. Accept it. Just, and I know, I'll have to do this later on. There is a comment that I think that the CE needs to make in defence of herself. So can I roll back on the motions? Sorry, Dean. The first motion is we received the report. I move that. Would somebody like to second it? It was you, Gretchen. Did we receive this report?
It's done.
Yep. Moved. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Number two, we approve the recommendation to request the Minister for the Environment call in Water Plan Change 7 water permits for the reasons set out in this report. I'm going to take these separately. All right. Or do you want to do the next one as well? Because it's virtually the same. Shall I do the second? Just two and three together?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Are some of us to call it pull out on this or not?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Are some of us to pull out on two and not three?
So okay.
Want them separately.
So we want to do it separately? Am I hearing that you want to do it separately?
Well, I appreciate we got some advice. Yes. Yesterday, I just want to confirm that the way I read it was that we're all able to be in.
So, on your pecuniary interests, based on the conversation with the OIG, you can be in. However, that hasn't assessed any other perceived or other interests that you may have, and each of you need to make that choice for yourselves.
Yes, I haven't, because I have seen this always as being kind of procedural and process rather than what affects what you own or you have interest in. So, can I move, and somebody move for me, number two, approves the recommendation to request the Minister for the Environment call on Water Plan Change 7, water permits for the reasons set out in this report, and combining it with three, approves a recommendation to request the Minister for the Environment Court and Water Plan Change 8, which is discharge management and waste plan change, dust suppressants and landfills, in other words, what do you call it, omnibus.
We had done that with Councillor Robinson already.
I'm trying to do these separately because would anyone like to move that, please?
Yep.
Alexa seconded. Michael, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
No.
Okay, can I have a show of hands, please? All those in favour, please say aye. Hang on, Michael, for a minute. I've got one. So I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Michael? Were you a no?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm opposed.
7-5, I declare the motion carries. We recommend under 5 that the Chair write to the Minister requesting a call-in of the plan changes in accordance with the... in accordance with the letters attached to this report and any amendments as a result of today's meeting. And I think you've heard me say that I want to actually place the Environment Court in there and maybe change this. And if I do this, I'll make a commitment, if you're okay, CE, that we do this evening together so that we get a copy out to people so that they can see what we're doing.
Could we just take away 4 and call it 4?
Well, okay, we might, but at the moment, can I? All right, she's doing magical. She will do that.
Madam Chair, with your indulgence, you could put in brackets, you know, Environment Court or.
Okay, if you like. All right.
Board of Inquiry, so it's there in black and white.
Okay. All those. Did I have a mover? Because this is. Michael seconded Alexa. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
No.
No.
Okay, can I have a show of hands? All those in favour, please say aye. 1, 2, 3, 1, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7-5, I think. I declare it carried.
I'm not abstain.
I'm up to the last one, which is number 6, which is the one, darling, you've just been talking about.
The
communication one.
Underneath,
and while you're bringing that communication one up, okay, can I just at this stage just ask you? You were worried about something that was said, and it's about what preference you have or not.
Yes. So I just wanted to clarify because Councillor Calvert suggested that I am pro Board of Inquiry, and I just want to clarify that in the circumstances of these particular plan changes, and because of the timeframes we are working against, and because of the my experience of how you can work with a community in a board setting versus a court setting, that is why I supported on this occasion a Board of Inquiry, and also the staff at the other end supported a Board of Inquiry. I just want to be clear that in my professional life, I've also provided advice to the Minister where a request has been made to not go down the track of a Board of Inquiry, or in fact not to call something in as a proposal of national significance. So I just want to be really clear that this is situational. It's not that I have a bias towards a Board of Inquiry at all.
What I was suggesting was that, bearing in mind that we had in this case, a preference from the staff to do something, when we had specifically asked to have taken out of the letter any preference that if they get in touch with you, which the letter says, if you want anything further, get in touch with me, that you would, as it were, honour, and that's not fair, it's not suggesting you wouldn't honour it, sort of, but honour the fact that you know quite clearly that we didn't want a preference given to the Minister about what we wanted. So we didn't want that expressed any time.
As I've said previously when we have discussed things on other occasions, I'm more than clear that my role, once you make a decision, is to follow the decision that is made.
You want to talk? Okay, and by the way, because I think you took out of that I prefer the court, I'm actually happy either way, but if I was going to get it through... I'll take the court. I wanted a call-in.
Chair, I'm probably better to make my comment once you deal with this motion.
Okay,
it relates to motion 2 and 3. I've got an issue.
Okay, look. Okay, the last motion, I presume it's being moved by
Councillor Malcolm and Councillor Deacon.
It's Councillor Malcolm. Kevin, sorry, Kevin, I'm just having a really bad time. And Michael. Okay. Staff and Communications Working Party under matter of urgency prepare comms to residents explaining process and reasons why ORC is pursuing a ministerial call-in. Can I ask the mover and seconder, would this be different from my doing a press release or a report being written up by the reporter present in the room today? Is this an addition to that? I'm asking the mover and seconder. Okay.
I think the key part to any ambivalence that I've had about the process that we're following is the lack of communication with our residents. It needs to be very and the idea of putting it to the working party was that we had a number of people in on that and constructed it to reflect everyone's views. I'm not saying that you're not going to do that. So
what I want to check is I can still do my interview or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that may well negate the need for too much to be done on that other one, if you know what I'm saying.
As seconder, I'd be perfectly happy for you to issue a media release at the end of this meeting, if this all goes through. Okay. I'm sure it will.
I don't want to reiterate what I said before, but I do think we haven't taken people on the journey. We need to start doing that, and this is a very big hurdle, because I think I don't think any of us are particularly comfortable reading this report and thinking, did it tell everyone clearly what we and why we were doing it? And I understand that, having talked to a lot of people and also read papers, but no one else is in that position, and I know people out there are really upset. They're feeling got at, and I am really concerned, about what a press release does, unless it just says, we've done this for the best reasons possible, those reasons will come out later, because actually the report doesn't tell us that, in the whole picture. So I'm nervous about that, because I think we need to join this stuff up better. And I understand we're all under speed, and that's fine for us, but we don't need to keep on confronting the local community with the stuff and not do it better. So I'm nervous about anything going out unless it's giving that whole picture.
Okay, I'll try my very best.
I think, Madam Chair, that there's two issues here. There's a press release thing, and I'm sure you'll make as good a job as you possibly can about getting information into that. But with the best will in the world, the ODT or anybody else is just going to make of the story what they make of the story, and it's nothing to do with what we want to communicate to and make sure is communicated to the people. We want to control that in some way. So this doesn't say, this says prepare comms to residents. It doesn't say about a press release which the ODT can decide what they take from it and things, because we want to make sure that our people have something. So I would prefer to see something that we would end up having on our website in its full glory, so as that it explained it how we wanted it explained, rather than trust that the ODT has the right space to tell the residents what we want them to. They're not our plaything. They're an ODT. They're a paper.
Okay. Any more comments, questions?
As the mover, I'd just like to make one comment. Is that I see the greatest reason for going down this path is to support our staff and get process underway. And I'm sure the process will work, but I think that's why I'm very happy for Marion to make a press release, but I think it's absolutely critical that we do as a community, that we actually go through that process, but do it very, very quickly.
Okay. Thank you. There's been a move and a second. I put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 And against, carried. So we have finished that part of the agenda.
Madam Chair.
Oh, sorry, dear.
I just need to go back to recommendation 2 and 3, where I thought we had agreed to have them put put separately.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but I'll tell you my problem.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the two motions, I was actually going to vote against the first one and then sit out of the second one because of any perceived conflict with water quality with my...
I don't think... Can I just say that we got advice today or yesterday, there was no conflict in this because it was procedure rather than ownership.
That's still a conflict.
It's still a conflict.
Who thinks it is?
Yeah, okay. So the first one is I'm against that, and that probably still remains 7-5. That's fine, number two. But number three, I want it noted that, because I did not vote on the third one.
So that becomes 6-5 or 7-4?
6-5 and an abstention?
6-5, yeah.
6-5 and an abstention.
Correct.
So two is 7-5.
Yep.
So even though we didn't take them consequentially, the accurate way to reflect it would be 2 is 7-5, 3 is 6-5.
And an abstention.
Thank you. I want that noted.
Thank you, love. Cheers. That's good.
7-4.
Okay, can we go, please, to... matters for noting. The Otago United Nations Regional... Oh, thank you, you two. United Nations Regional Centre of Expertise for Sustainability. Sorry. Mm.
Well done.
Okay.
Second.
It's moved by whom?
Me.
Kate. And seconded Alexa. I had to take Alexa because she's got an interest in this in particular. Somebody like to speak to this? Alexa?
Well, I'd just like to say that I've actually been involved in this since 2012 and trying to get this, been part of this. There's a team of us at Otago Poly, headed by Phil Kerr, but also Barry Law has been very involved, and Steve Henry and I have had a lot to do with it as well. And I think it's a brilliant, there's a lot of work behind it that is really... it gives an opportunity for Otago to actually separate itself from as a research centre of excellence around sustainability. Otago Poly has led this, but it's very much working in with the university as well, obviously, and it's it goes right through up to the Cromwell campus. So I note that DCC have actually got a lot to do with it as well, but I think there's a real opportunity for Otago Regional Council because of right up to the headwaters. So I'd really like to see us do even more than just accept this.
Point of order.
Just to actually be part of it.
I'm sorry. I totally respect Alexa's and her passion for this. Can I just ask if that is in her role as a paid member of the Otago Polytechnic staff? Because I'm feeling really nervous now to be having this discussion. And I'm really sorry, but we've just been fiddly sticks about this, about conflicts and potentially. And I'm not trying... pick on anyone, but
no, that's absolutely fine. And I actually considered that, but I don't think there's any pecuniary interest in this report for me at all.
Because and that's what I'm asking is that you've done the work outside of your role, and
I've done it within and outside of it. I lead the courses on this, and I've developed the courses that do this. And if you feel, but I don't believe that this report, us receiving this report, has any part of that. But if you'd like me, if you think that's a problem, I might consider.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I don't think that it is. I did talk about it.
Yeah.
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 You are receiving an income, regardless of whether we approve this or not.
Exactly.
This is going to go on ahead. We've just said that as ORC we'd like to be in on the picture.
God, that's an interesting spin on it.
Yes, well, that's what I'm saying. But if you absolutely know what my position is, and I've just told you that I've been working on this for 7 years, I think there's very big advantages in it. But
can I just stay? And I really take offence at that. I really take offence. I wasn't talking to you, Kate.
Well, I stand by my reply because that is an interesting spin on it. Like, the thing is... Madam Chair, with respect...
I'm standing.
Okay. Well, I apologise then.
Thank you.
I will leave it there, and I'll actually get somebody else to second it, please, and I'll stand down, please.
I'll certainly second it.
Thank you. We'll continue. So it's been. We received the report. We've noted that the Otago region has been confirmed as a regional centre of expertise we have noted, will remain involved as a partner, will co-chair the working group on water, and will note that updates will be provided to the council.
And note my standing down, please.
And note the standing down. It's been moved by Councillor Wilson and seconded by Councillor Deacon. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. We're up now to proposed programme of strategic plan workshops. They're yours, Gwyneth. And really what you're talking about is that ahead of doing the long-term plan, that we actually first do a strategy. Is that how I've read this? And you've got some dates in there as well, and I had some problems with the dates. Did you realise that two of them were on dates when we had ORC meetings?
Yes, we scheduled them in with other council meetings.
Okay, so that was done deliberately. Okay, sorry.
So just quickly for those who haven't met Anne, this is Anne Duncan, our new manager of strategy, who joined us a few weeks ago. And Hi. Yes, as Marion said, this is really a work program we're proposing as part of the workshops that are in the terms of reference of the strategy and planning committee, and the work is being proposed to be done ahead of the long-term plan so that we can feed that into the community outcomes component of the long-term plan.
Have anybody got any questions?
Happy to move if it hasn't already been moved. Both recommendations.
Okay, is there a seconder? Carmen, are there any more discussion? Can I thank you, because I think it's really good work and a thoughtful way of approaching the long-term plan and actually very much about involving people, which is when we stop having the whip above us, I hope we're able to do better. Okay. Having moved and seconded, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. Thank you. We now have a report back from councillors. Hilary.
Just very briefly, I went on the disabled walkabout town, for want of a better description of it.
Good.
Where they divided, and it was lovely. They divided us into groups of three, and they gave each group of three a wheelchair, so somebody was in a wheelchair, and one of them was pushing the wheelchair, and one of them had a little card saying, "I am dysphasic, whatever, I can't speak."
All right.
That you could hand over to people. Yeah. And so that person had to shut up, and the other two were, and they sent us on little journeys around town as to where to go. And it was intended to be a help people understand what it's like, just in a brief way. And they also gave us a couple of little exercises where they put goggles on us, one of them of which were booze goggles, for want of a better word, to show you what it felt like to try and walk a straight line when you're a bit pissed. And
it's a disability.
Yeah, well, it certainly is a disability, I can tell you. Try and putting them on. And a second one, which a second pair of goggles, which gave you a double vision sort of thing that some people have all the time. Anyway, it was a really useful thing, and I would suggest that anybody who's thinking of being part of a subgroup of us who makes decisions about some sorts of things, go and talk to them and ask them whether you can engage with that sort of process, because it's really helpful. And it tied in with making our lovely bus people, in this case Julian and Fred, have got involved in trying to get a better bus stop system and things where the intercity bus goes, because people stand around all over the footpath and then no one can take a wheelchair past it, or any, it's just sort of hopeless. So I've been involved in the middle of that, and they're out looking for how to do a shelter and another bus stop and everything, but it's really good fun. And so if anybody gets a chance to be disabled for a couple of hours, might I recommend it?
I think I'm permanently. I just, yeah, Carmen. Yeah.
Councillor Calvert, you talk about that. That's an interesting point. I was just saying to Councillor Callagher here.
Mike, darling.
Oh, sorry. No apologies. You faff around with these things and then they never go on when you want them to, do they?
It's on now.
Oh, thank you. Yes, you'd think so.
Do you think it's a possibility that the bus shelters should be slightly changed, you know, just to incorporate the wheelchairs, like the footpaths here, and it sort of goes way out? You know, what did you see? Did you see anything differently that we could incorporate for
what
future?
The take-home thing, I think, would be to say that footpaths aren't very wide, and if somebody's going that way and a wheelchair is going this way, and somebody just leaves one of them scooters on the ground, or the DCC says you can have a sandwich board outside the front, but there's not room for the sandwich board and a wheelchair. You know, that it's partly an education thing about being more careful, but it wasn't so much having shelters that did that, although having wider shelters gives people with suitcases in the intercity sense a chance too. So that's it's just to be thinking about that, and the disabled people can give advice. So if you just think for a moment, like you do, I wonder whether it makes a difference if you can just ask them, and they're more than happy to say, we will tell you how to build it so it's better.
Cool. Where am I going?
Is this one thing that I want to share with you, and I might write it up properly in the report, but this may all happen sooner than later. On Friday, I was up at the regional chairs and CEs meeting, and they were all in a lather because coming down the line is the fresh water report and suggestions for what may happen. And there is enormous scientific argument among the scientists. That's what I took from that particular discussion. And I can't look, it was a whinny bit, because one of the difficulties was that everyone was thinking they knew what was in the report but not knowing what they were in the report. And you know when people get in a lather over something that they don't know what it's in there? It seemed to me a lot of wasted energy. But that was coming. All I can say is the fresh water report is, I think, due in about 2 weeks, correct?
Yes.
And the other one that we talked about earlier, the three waters report. So we've been under the cosh a lot. Others are now joining us right throughout the country, really concerned as they start the move towards it. And I think this is going to really affect that what we've done in those intermediate steps. There are really intermediate steps around the omnibus plan and things. What's coming is actually much more dictatorial, I suspect. I don't know for sure. But just kind of a word of warning, and for reading everything that you can see once somebody makes a decision. And that may be some time away. Any other reports from councillors? Yes.
Thank you. I went to the Waimumu Field Days for 2 days, and Councillor Wilson was on the third day. It was very good. It's very worthwhile. It was busy. We probably were in a great space this time. We were in a shed, and we were right at the front of the shed where the doors... Oh, my apologies, Councillor. No, you were there too. It's terribly awfully of me to forget you. And you were terrific as well. Thank you. We were constantly busy because I think of where we were situated, and people just kept coming in and asking questions. Anything from river gravel right through to... I want to keep my water on, which a lot of things weren't us, or can you tell us where Environment Southam's temp was? That was quite a hot topical subject. But people were generally pleased to see us. Definitely less is probably better. We didn't have a lot of things on the wall, but I think that was okay. I think we could have a bigger map next time. And it was very good. On the way home, I went to an emergency management meeting at Tapanui, and the big thing that I'll tell you was this. Because those roads were closed, the community said, along with the policeman and the fire chief and everybody else, and Dr. Palmer was there too, which was really nice to see Michelle Miffin, people still rely on Google to tell them what they think is a road that's open that might be closed. And they would keep trying and trying and trying because Google said, just take this road. And as they said, what worries them the most at night time when the roads are flooded... There's going to be drownings because they don't adhere to the warnings that the road's closed. Doesn't mean we're not going to get through because, let's just try another route because this is what Google says to do. Okay. And they don't know how to comprehend that. You know, they'd like a better situation. But good meeting.
Thank you. Any more reports? Yes.
Look, I just want to follow up about Waimumu and give a absolute credit to the staff there. Nicole and Bruce Moynihan assisted us. And also kudos to Glenn Riley from St Clair Wetlands, who gave us seeds to give away, for which were very popular. But really professionally done, and the note-taking of issues, which I hope will somewhere lead back to discussions with us or reports back, were brilliant. But and a huge number of Otago people there. So huge positive contributions from the staff. And that's why I think we need to have more rural liaison people out there, and you will hear me bagging on about that as time goes on, and I've already raised in finance today. The other one is the Paratai, because I was called down there. I just want to understand the process for debriefing and understanding at some stage whether staff, and I will be inviting councillors to that, and it's not me, because I think it should be going to infrastructure staff, being invited to understand how those, and listen to the farmers about, or the landowners generally, about how those flood works. So I hope it's not just staff only, because I think there's a real will and willingness to engage councillors at that level to get an idea of how they're working and seeing if they can be improved. And people are prepared to put money in to improve them if they're good projects.
You just said something, Lex, I'll come to you in a minute, just made me think of something. I want, when Michael said before that he wanted something to go out to say what all our roles are, is this, where are we up to? We up to the this is March we're coming into, aren't we?
Yes.
March. I hope by the end of March we spend some time actually mapping out which valleys and things that we are responsible for and which areas, so that we get some clarity around that, because I'm not sure. And I would like that clarified a wee bit about the FMUs and all those sorts of things, and our kind of responsibilities or portfolios or whatever we called them, just to have a look to see if they're working. So we'll just into March. Alexa.
I just wanted to report back from the Regional Land Transport Committee. Kate and I, along with Gary and Gavin, attended that meeting, and it's... Liz, I think, has uploaded it into Diligent now, somewhere in the resource centre, I imagine. And it might be worth a look if you're interested, because we're starting to work on the 2021-2031 Regional Land Transport Plan, which has got quite a lot of implications for all sorts of things, including the details such as Google Map sending people down the wrong ways, and we are thinking about that along with other things. But we're waiting for the a government policy statement transport to be final. It's to come to us, whether it's draft or final. I'm not sure. I think it'll be pretty draft for a while, and start working with that. But just to let you know, that's happening. There's a lot of details, a lot of stuff I could cover, but I'm not going to, because you probably don't have time for it now. But if you're interested or have any concerns about the transport plan, please do look at that briefing and. Let Kate and I know if there's anything you want to bring to it.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I just forgot to say the other thing that was most important, and I'm sure Councillor Wilson and Councillor Moon noticed it too, was a number of people that took away the EcoFund pamphlets when we were at the field days, wanting to know what they could do with their community.
That's fabulous.
So it was really worth it. It would be lovely to have a big poster of that next year, Councillor Deacon.
Okay.
Good.
Oh, just really quickly, sorry, but yeah. A number of us went to the Enviro Schools HUI as well, including yourself, a number of us. Anyway, it was great, attended by several high schools who are Enviro Schools, really well run, but one thing that struck all of us who attended was there was feedback on how those students saw the future of the world, their aspirations, and it was quite hard-hitting about actually the level of depression of how they actually see the future as hopeless and bureaucracy as also hopeless. And we're part of needing to change that, I suppose. And as part of that, our chair actually said to these students in Enviro Schools that... should be thinking of opportunities for those leaders to come forward and share their ideas and aspirations with the council. I think that's really is important. Yeah. So
I want to want them to choose different topics so that they join us on working parties. When we're doing working parties, one or two of them, and they begin to learn the issues. Yes, Michael.
I might have missed something here, but our chief executive was preparing a paper on a youth council for Otago region.
Yes, Mrs. Giddens and the communications area were working on that, and I'd need to follow that up.
She was with us that day.
Well, I hope that arrives on the table pretty soon.
Yep.
Because that dates back to the previous council, I think. The resolution to consider such a proposal.
Michael, I'm meeting with about 10 university /10 tertiary students in about a week's time. And again, I'm putting them through that same issue of talking about some of the workshops that we're having and asking them to, you know, choose different topics that almost like being interns, following up different ones of us, working with us, because I want an understanding from them that this is meant to be the Environmental Council. You know, this is where their hope is for decisions.
Good.
Did that turn up on the matters arising thing earlier in our papers? Or did I miss
it?
Too recent, probably.
No, it didn't.
No, it was probably done in communications.
People, I wonder, I'm conscious that we're going to go back to the finance. Just before we do, I've got to move a motion, dear lovely journalist, that the public be excluded from the following parts of the proceedings of this meeting, namely the minutes of the 11th December 2020, which is a public excluded council meeting, and the minutes of the 22nd of January, which is also a public excluded council meeting, and the minutes of the 29th of January, the part of it which was a public excluded council meeting. I'm moving from the chair. I require a seconder.
Seconder.
Thanks, Gary. All those in favour that the public be excluded for those reasons, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. Bye-bye, Tuppences.